It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia author Craig Halloran has written 70 books across many genres. He talks about the difficulty fantasy novels present.
It is complicated because you're having to describe a lot of things people haven't seen before, and it has to be heavy in action.
That conversation coming up later in the show. This is West Virginia Morning. If you live or have ever been to Morgantown, you've probably driven over or near the Monongahela River, or some people pronounce it Monongahela. So which is the correct way to say it, and where does that name come from anyway? On a recent episode of Inside Appalachia, guest host Glynis Board explains in our series, What's in a Name?
Lately, it came to our attention that people pronounce the name of the 130-mile river that flows from northern West Virginia to Pittsburgh differently.
The name comes from one of several interpretations from some American Indian words that I can't pronounce for you, but which translate into place of many landslides or high banks or bluffs falling down in places.
That's Kelly Bridges, the public affairs officer for the Mon National Forest, which is named after the Mon River. Now, most people just say the Mon when referring to the forest or the river. It's easier than saying the full 11-letter word, but if you call the Mon National Forest Service, this is what you hear.
Thank you for calling the United States Department of Agriculture, Monongahela National Forest.
Tara Landevier is the tourism director for Randolph County, which includes much of the Mon Forest.
I pronounce it Monongahela, but my mom, I asked her the other day, and she says Monongahela.
Tara asked her coworkers, too.
The executive director pronounces it Monongahela, and his secretary pronounces it Monongahela, and the Cheat Ranger District ranger, Troy Wowski, he pronounces it Monongahela.
So this got us thinking, is there a right way to say the name? The word originates from the Lenape language spoken by the Delaware tribe of Indians, a tribe that likely passed through northern West Virginia and southern Pennsylvania hundreds of years ago. We spoke with Jim Rementer, who's the language director for the tribe.
The proper Lenape pronunciation is Monongahela.
But before learning the Lenape language, Jim pronounced it differently.
I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, and I always heard and said Monongahela.
And that's not that uncommon. We asked people around northern West Virginia and southern Pennsylvania how they pronounce it. Here's Grant Rumble, a Morgantown local.
It's the Monongahela River. Yeah, Monongahela.
My name is Nikki Tennant. I say Monongahela. That's just what I've always called it. I probably was taught that way.
So there's Monongahela, Monongahela, and Monongahela, but there's one other way people say it in southern Pennsylvania, where the town is named after the river. Here's Diana Barber.
It is Monongahela. Yeah, Hela. Yeah, Monongahela.
And in case you're all wondering, I used to live in Morgantown for like 15 years, and I pronounce it Monongahela, except when I pronounce it Monongahela. But technically, the word comes from the Lenape language. So here's Jim Rementer saying it once more.
Monongahela.
Let us know if there's a name of a place you're curious about in Appalachia, and we'll look into it. Send us a tweet at @InAppalachia, and we might explore it inside Appalachia.
You can download the Inside Appalachia podcast and check out the radio schedule at wvpublic.org/InsideAppalachia.
Monongahela?
Monongahela.
Oh, I'll just say Mon.
That's whatever you say. 1-800-RADIO-87 is what you need to do, and that's to call and support West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Right. Good morning. I'm Eddie Isom. I'm here with Kate Fitzgerald.
Good
We're
morning.
Celebrating 50 years of being on the air. West Virginia Public Broadcasting has been around for 50 years because of you.
And that's easy to say. West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Right. That's why we say WVPB.
Whatever you do, if you enter now, if you pledge now, you will be entered into a Amazon gift card drawing for $500. That is now through Wednesday, September 11th. And if you are currently a sustaining member, you are automatically entered into the drawing. So, Eddie, why should I be a sustaining member?
Well, you should be a sustaining member because you have control of your membership. You can change your membership when you choose to. You can contribute on a monthly basis. That helps us plan better because we know how much money's coming in so that we can budget better. And that helps you in the long run because you'll know that you're going to be supporting great quality programs in the long term.
And I do not have to remember.
That's
Did I
exactly
pledge
right.
this time? Did I not pledge that time? I know that I am always pledging West Virginia Public Broadcasting because it's the news that I listen to. It's the reporting that I hear. It's the stories that I'm like, oh, Monongahela.
Mon. And you get entered into great drawings like this $500 Amazon gift card drawing because if you're already a sustaining member, you're already entered. It's one of the benefits of being a member of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thank you, Tom and Mary Jane of Princeton.
And Joseph from South Charleston.
Juliana, I think, of Daniels.
Margaret from Petersburg.
And Andrea from Wheeling. Thank you so much. If we haven't read your name, we want to. And we want to do that when you make a call to 1-800-RADIO-87 or go online to wvpublic.org. Make that pledge of support to support the quality programming that we've been bringing you over the past 50 years. We want to hear from you. Thank you so much. If you've already pledged, if not, 1-800-RADIO-87.
Swords, sorcery, and other worlds, and plenty of action are staples of the fantasy novel genre. Craig Halloran from Charleston, West Virginia, has written 70 books in 10 years, taking his readers to far-off lands. He spoke to Eric Douglas about how he writes so quickly and keeps creating books his fans want to read.
Craig Halloran grew up reading books like Conan the Barbarian and playing Dungeons and Dragons. When he decided to start writing books, the choice was simple, but he's learned some lessons along the way.
I thought more with fantasy, I've realized it's actually pretty hard to write. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing it for a while, not thinking about it, but it is complicated because you're having to describe a lot of things people haven't seen before, and it has to be heavy in action, and writing action is really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I was like, well, this is easy to me right now, but as I get older, what I've learned is it's actually a lot easier to write in a modern setting that people can relate to. And I'm tempted to, probably under a pen name, everything's done under my name right now, but under a pen name, I would like to try some other stories and get them out there just because it's going to be easier to write them. They're a little more dialogue rich, and, you know, people can understand, you know, somebody picks up a Coca-Cola and eats a Whopper. They can immediately connect with that situation.
I've read a couple of your books now. Your language, there's no foul language or very minimal, if there's any.
Right.
I assume that's a conscious choice on your part.
Right. I like to think that I like to stay in the veins of traditional fantasy, and so I don't want to use any modern vernacular, so to speak, in it. Now, I do have some books that are in a modern setting. But, you know, my standards, you know, I just don't want to use that language. I'm kind of like Louis L'Amour. He never used it. And people don't really miss it unless you're getting into a real gritty character and you want to go that direction and it's expected. You can do it that way. But I just, it's not in me. I'm not the kind of guy who wants to do that. I don't want my books known for their language.
What's your next project?
I'm going to do another dragon based series, aimed at middle grade students and up. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to, because publishing's changed so much just with ebooks and self-publishing after the last few years, I was like, I really need to zero in on one topic, one niche or genre, and focus on it solely. So like dragons and mythical creatures is kind of a niche in fantasy, and I'm good at writing it. And this series, I'm not going to reveal the name of it yet because I'm doing a lot of secretive planning in the background. But I plan on making, you know, next year, at the beginning of the year, I plan on releasing about 10 books or so, one after the other over the coming months.
In a serial fashion.
So I'm going to try to write them all first and then release them, because if you release them closer together, you usually do better on sales.
Sure.
And it's kind of like what's happening with these Netflix and Amazon Prime series.
People will binge them.
Yeah. The binge watch, you know, every week, or they do them all at once. So the same thing's happening in the book publishing industry.
So tell me about your writing process a little bit. I mean, obviously, if you're cranking them out like that, you're one of the dedicated writers who's in his seat every day and a couple thousand words a day.
I don't know how, I don't know what it is about me. I mean, I never had this kind of discipline when I was younger to do any. Mm-hmm. I never was a good writer. I wasn't strong in English or any of these things. But maybe from being in the military, I got enough discipline to do things and see them through. But when I start something, I'll zero in on it until I'm finished. So, you know, every day I write, maybe in the morning, but mostly in the evening and most of it on the weekends. So that's my process. But the trick is, people are blown away by that. But even if you did just 1,000 words a day and you did it for 10 years, you're going to have a lot of books. It's just the way it is. So I just do it.
And how many series do you have?
About 8. So I've got the Dark Slayer. I'll name them all. I have the Dark Slayer, The Chronicles of Dragon, which I have 3 series of those. I got 2 series of The Dark Slayer, 3 of The Chronicles of Dragon. Okay. I've got if you like urban fantasy and Jim Butcher books, mm-hmm. and shows like Supernatural, I have the Supernatural Bounty Hunter Files. I have a post-apocalyptic series called Escape from the Dominion. And I have my new series, The Henchman Chronicles. The King's Henchman is the first book in that one. If you're going to try my books, I'd probably recommend that one first, just because it's something new and different. And I have a zombie series out there, which starts off with the book Zombie Daycare. And that was actually one of my earlier works. There are actually people who've read all 70. I mean, it's amazing, but they tell me I've read everything you've written. And there's a lot of people say I'm their favorite author, and you know, it's just a great honor.
Absolutely.
That keeps me going. I mean, if I didn't hear from people on a regular basis, I'm not going to say I would quit, but I mean, it really gives me that push I need to keep going.
Well, even for you, who seems better organized or motivated than most, there's got to be days where I just don't feel like it.
If I don't do it, I feel worse.
Sure.
It's like exercise. You do it for a while, then you don't do it for a couple of days, you start feeling really bad. It's the same thing with writing. If I after I finish a book, I'm like, oh, I'll take a week off and I'll relax, and I get edgy. I mean, I'm just edgy. I start getting grouchy. I've got to start writing.
That was fantasy author Craig Halloran talking with Inside Appalachia associate producer Eric Douglas about the challenges of writing. This interview is part of a series of discussions with authors from the region. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.
And I'm Kate Fitzgerald in the studio with Eddie Isom.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are here coming to you live to say it is that time of year. It is time to support West Virginia Public Broadcasting with your contributions, because with those contributions, we bring you cool stories like authors from the region.
Yeah, authors from the region and how to pronounce words.
Like, can you do it?
Mon.
However you say it, Monongahela or Monongahela or Monongahela or something like
that.
Those are all, that's that interesting content that we bring you with Morning, West Virginia Morning and Inside Appalachia. And your contributions support that. So do that now, 1-800-RADIO-87 or online at wvpublic.org.
And, you know, we're having a little fun with that. But when you think about it, that's the kind of things that people really talk about. And that's and only public broadcasting will actually spend time looking at something
how
like that.
How many times today are you going to ask somebody, how do you pronounce?
Exactly. It's going to be my entire day. And it's all because, you know, we really change lives in ways, and we bring things to the open. And we've been doing this for 50 years. Education, inspiration, information, entertainment, and perspective. And it's all because of you. Please help us celebrate this morning by making a pledge of support by calling 1-800-RADIO-87 or go online to wvpublic.org.
It's real easy to do. The other thing is we were talking about how it has changed, how you listen has changed over the years. So it used to be you turned on your TV or you turned on your radio and that was it.
Right.
It's a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Well, streaming on both ends, TV and radio.
And that's on a smart speaker or your computer or your phone.
Right. Or your smart TV. We have smart TVs. Everything's smart.
Well, and part of the smart TV and part of a member benefit is Passport.
Passport, $5 a month. If you're a sustaining member at $5 a month, you have access to Passport. And that's hours upon hours upon hours of great PBS content at your fingertips. And that's all because you support West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Give us a call at 1-800-RADIO-87. Go online to wvpublic.org. Ask about any of our 50th thank you gifts. We'd like to hear from you, and thank you.